It's time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How you doing? Oh, that sounds amazing.
Good Monday morning, Hornets fans. Let's get this week started off the right way with a little Hornets talk. I'm Doug Branson, joined by my friend and co-host, David Walker. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Now, you know, some people need the Hive O'Clock Alarm to get their week started off the right way. I think anyone who watched college basketball last night is probably already juiced and ready to go. There were a few...
Holy moly.
A few good finishes.
What was the last game that you had your eyelids open for?
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm glad that I'm taking kind of an NCAA sabbatical this year because I'm a little under the weather. So I'll be honest, okay. I didn't get to see – I'm catching up on the highlights. I didn't get to see anything. But I did see Frank Kaminsky's great celebration on Twitter. I retweeted it on Hive Talk Live, so go visit us on Twitter at Hive Talk Live. But Frank, pretty excited about Bronson's three-point shot falling out of bounds to give Wisconsin the win over Xavier.
Yeah, Xavier and Bill Murray. So that was interesting. I had turned away from the Texas A&M Northern Iowa game and then got an alert on my trusty smartphone that it had actually gone into overtime, which seemed pretty much impossible from what I was watching. And then that went into double overtime. So pretty crazy. I mean, it's just, it's been pretty fun to watch so far. I'll fill you in. You don't need to watch, though.
Perfect. Yeah, it seems like, you know, college basketball, it was May, you know, this was sort of a weak year for college basketball, so a lot of people expected upsets, and you had those in the early rounds, but it looks like most of the top, you know, upper echelon teams have made it through to the Sweet 16, except maybe out in the Midwest, where Virginia is. There seems to be a lot of upsets.
Yeah, it's funny. You're right. You expect to see some of the smaller names in there, but at the end of the day, it's most of the bigger names: the Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Indiana. But you know, we talked a little bit about college basketball versus NBA, and we don't want to get into that whole heated argument. But I mean, I think everybody can agree the tournament is fun and it is its own thing, and if you can sit back and enjoy it without, you know, getting too high and mighty on either side, it's probably the best way to do it. So it's a fun time.
So who do the Hornets have left in the tournament? Let's see. You've got Tyler and Marvin with UNC still in it. Cody Zeller.
Frank.
Yeah, and Frank. I think that's it. VCU gave Oklahoma a run for their money, and Troy Daniels is a VCU alum. So I think that's it because
right.
Kentucky was eliminated. UConn was eliminated.
UConn was out.
Yeah, I think that's it. So there you go. You got four Hornets with skin in the game still in the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about the Hornets. They have the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, visiting tonight, Time Warner Cable Arena, 7 o'clock tip. The game actually got moved to NBA TV, so the Hornets getting
Hello.
A little unexpected national coverage on a night where they won't be competing with NCAA basketball, so they will have the basketball stage to themselves, and it comes against one of the best teams in the NBA. I mean, I don't know if there's much to talk about, David, because I went and I looked. I was looking for clues. I was like CSI basketball. I was looking on the splits for the Spurs and looking at their wins and losses, and there's not a ton of difference. I mean, they miss a few shots here and there, but there's no thing that stands out that says, okay, if you limit what San Antonio does here, you have a good chance of beating them. And that really goes to their roster. They have so many weapons and so many two-way guys that they can beat you in a variety of ways. And if you take away one thing, they can hit you with another thing. They can shoot the three. They can shoot the mid-range. They can penetrate. They can get in the paint. They can score inside. So it's tough. And then on defense, you know, they've got the best defender in the NBA in Kawhi Leonard.
Yep. Doug, we mentioned it a little bit on our appearance yesterday on Fox 46, tune in for that every Sunday morning. But, you know, there's a few teams in the NBA, and actually Clifford mentioned this after the game, that can just roll out there every day and not go through the motions, but just fall back on what they do and basically have a good chance of winning. And it's the Spurs, the Warriors, maybe the Cavs. But the Hornets aren't one of those teams. But you mentioned, so they're going to have to play their best. I mean, that's the bottom line. The Hornets are going to have to play really well and hope that the Spurs have an off night, which is not out of the question. I mean, this is the NBA. The Hornets are playing at home. The Hornets are a good team. But they're going to need a lot of things to go their way. You mentioned the Spurs and just how frighteningly efficient and good they are. I mean, let me just run down these stats for you real quick. The points per game. This is in the NBA. Points per game, 7th overall, 105. Field goal percentage, 1st in the NBA, 48.8%. Rebounds per game, 9th in the NBA.
Yum.
Turnovers per game, 27th in the NBA. Now, that's reversed.
Right.
The Hornets are actually, 30th, but the Spurs only turned over 13 times a game. Three-point percentage, 38.3%. 2nd in the NBA. Free throws, 80%. 2nd in the NBA. Fouls per game, only 17 a game. 3rd in the NBA in assists. 12th in steals, 5th in blocks. I mean, this
just
is
across
the end of the
board.
Season here. It's just insane. And on top of that, they've got the best coach maybe in all of sports. So it's a big challenge for the Hornets. Maybe one they'll be up for, I mean, they've got to have a sour taste in their mouth after that performance against Denver. So it'll be interesting to see. They stuck with the Spurs a little bit in that game in San Antonio way, 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 way back in – gosh, it must have been November or December, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job in the first half, and then Manu Ginobili picked it up, and the Spurs finally have Manu Ginobili back from an injury that must not be talked about. It was so horrible. We don't... Ugh. I'm looking at a couple of things. Obviously, there's been no word about, we know Pop is famous for keeping starters at home on a road trip. So you don't know if that's going to be a factor yet. So we'll definitely be looking at that. I mean, this could definitely be a trap game for San Antonio, and I think that's how a lot of their fans are looking at it. And so you wonder if after that emotional win against Golden State, they put everything they had into beating Golden State, smothering Steph Curry on defense. You wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a letdown, just like there was a letdown between the Hornets' victory against Miami and a disappointing defeat against the Nuggets. So the Hornets have that working into their favor as well. And I'll also be watching Danny Green. Will Coach Popovich do the same thing that they did against Golden State and Steph and put Danny Green on Steph? Will they do that to Kemba? Will they take Kemba as seriously as they did Steph Curry? And if they don't, if they ignore Kemba, I think they do that at their own peril, because I think Kemba one-on-one with Tony Parker can do a little damage. So those are just a couple of things I'll be watching for in this game.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an advantage. I mean, obviously Kemba and Steph are not the same player, but I think the thing that about him sitting those guys, and we talked about this a little bit, the Spurs are only 3 games back from the Warriors right now, and they play them 2 more times. So if they want to keep pace with that, and I do think home court is going to be important between those two teams once they get into the playoffs. So I'm like you. I mean, you never know when they're going to rest somebody, but this thing looks like it could go down to the wire with that win the other night. Like I said, they're only 3 games back from the Warriors, which sounds insane. And, the Warriors don't lose that often. It feels like they're going to try and battle that out. And at the same time, I think the Hornets – are what, 3 games from 8th? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not far from 8th and not far from 3rd. And Boston won last night, so now the Hornets sit alone in the 6th spot. They're not far behind Boston, Miami, Atlanta, but all 3 of those teams are, Miami, Atlanta are on track. Boston attempting to get back on track, so the Hornets really can't afford to concede any game. It doesn't matter if it's against the Spurs, the Warriors, the Thunder, the Cavs. I mean, they have to come with their absolute A game, and they certainly, with that loss against Denver, you don't leave yourself with any margin of error. I mean, we looked at the Spurs game as
hurts.
We looked at the Spurs game as one that was like, well, they've been on a streak, they've been playing well. That's one you can pinpoint as like, we'll put an L on the schedule and move on. But now with that loss to the Nuggets and both Miami and Atlanta catching fire, the Hornets really can't afford. I mean, you know, certainly whether they can afford to lose or not is beside the point. I mean, the Spurs play so well that it may be, you know, a foregone conclusion. But I think that, you know, you have no excuse at this point. You have no excuse to let down because of what happened against the Nuggets, where you had, you know, several players not playing up to the level of energy and intensity that we've seen from them this past season.
Yeah, one last thing on this, Doug, and I want to ask you this question. You know, this is the first night of a back-to-back for the Hornets. They'll travel to Brooklyn tomorrow night. With that in mind, and I, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and just say it's a foregone conclusion, but I can definitely see if it's, you know, the fourth quarter and things aren't looking that great. I mean, do you think Clifford conserves some energy here? Because like you said, and rest some guys, you know, towards the end of the game, because they don't have much room for error. They are actually 3.5 games, I think, up on Chicago as far as that eight seed goes. But I guess we'll just see how it plays out. But, I mean, that's the type of thinking that is going to start creeping in at this point, because they can't afford to give up too much ground. So I don't know if that's going to play into it. I think they're obviously going to try and win the game. But you know, if he gets out of hand, there wouldn't be anything wrong with sitting some guys. But I expect a good effort. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made for doing that if the game is completely out of hand. I think there's also, though, an argument that, you know, you're getting your team ready for the playoffs. And so you want to make, even in that kind of situation, you want to maintain some consistency, and you want to have players conditioned to play in an atmosphere where you're playing every other night against intense level competition. And this is a good, you know, this is a good indicator of where this team is how they play against the San Antonio Spurs, one of the best teams on offense and defense in the NBA. So it'll be an interesting game. I want to pick your brain about a couple of things going on in the NBA, one of them being a player that was rumored to be of interest to the Hornets around the deadline, that is one Dwight Howard, getting caught putting a stick'em on his hands, the old little Giants trick. Stick'em on his hands, it got on the ball, and who noticed it for Atlanta? Paul Millsap was taking a free throw.
He was shooting a free throw, right?
Yeah, and he was like, what the hell is going on with this ball? And excuse me. The refs checked it out, and then Bickerstaff, the coach of the Houston Rockets, like hides the can of Stick'em. Like, what's going on here, David? There's a shenanigans.
What's happening down there?
Shenanigans.
Yeah, weird. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. Well, Paul Millsap's reaction was classic.
Well, the thing is, so I'm looking at these writers reacting to it, and these national writers, and they have no idea how to react to it. There are no like stinging commentaries coming out about it yet. Because I just think that it's just such not an NBA thing. This smells like baseball, like a little substance on the hat, little pine tar in the bat. You know, these are baseball shenanigans, and no one even really knows how to talk about this. And people were speculating, you know, six-figure fine, possible suspension for Dwight. We haven't heard any news. You know, the NBA is definitely going to keep this one close to the chest. But no one, there's not really much precedent. I'm sure if we had the Over the Back NBA podcast that does NBA history on, they could give us, you know, line by line some precedent. But nothing comes to mind in the recent history of any kind of, you know, it's mostly been like fights and, you know, drugs occasionally here and there. But nothing like that. This is so strange.
Yeah, I mean, in basketball, there's not much you can do to the equipment, right? I mean, it's really just the ball and the hoop. The one thing that kind of jumped in mind, remember when J.R. Smith was going around untying people's shoes?
Yeah. But this seems worse, right? This is worse. Yeah. So the reason, I'm only speculating here, and Dwight says he does it every game. He's been doing it his whole career. He admitted it. Listen, do not get Dwight Howard in an interrogation room. Just don't do it, because he will sing like a canary. But
they should have Kobe interrogate him.
Jesus, be the first interrogation by strangling.
It is weird.
The reason
right,
you would want to do it, I guess, is rebounding, right? You would want to have the stick'em on your hands to better grip the ball on a rebound. That seems like
the
only reason.
Explain the free throws. I mean, can this explain the free throw issues? I don't know.
Dwight's look, I've been working on my form. I've got a perfect form. I don't know why I'm still struggling.
It just doesn't come off the fingertips at all, period. The league, yeah, I don't think they're going to take this lightly because,
you can't.
You get down to the integrity of the game and competition, and that's basically the number one thing that they don't want. They don't want to be questioned, especially after some of the referee stuff they had in past
and
years.
And Tom Brady and the deflate gate. I mean, you can't. You got to get ahead of this. You can't be behind on this. Otherwise, you risk. I just love Dwight. Oh, silly, goofy Dwight admitting to using Stick'Em when it's clearly illegal.
but how is it there? If Bickerstaff has to then go and hide it, and it's not supposed to be there. It's obviously been there before, right?
I guess the refs, they go through their pregame routine, and it doesn't include, inspecting the substances on the scorer's table. Maybe it should.
I think it will in the future.
Interesting stuff. All right. Hey, check us out on Tuesday. We've got Taylor Zarzar from – is it Zarzar or Zarzor?
Zarzar, right. Yeah, from SiriusXM Satellite Radio.
Yeah, he's going to be on talking about we'll talk some college basketball for sure because he's an expert. He's not sick like me, so he's not missing these night games. He's watching them all, and he can help us out with college basketball recaps. We'll pick his brain because we know what the Hornets need. We know what they need, and so I want to know of the things that the Hornets need: more shooting, more rim protection. Are there players that are performing in the tournament this season that match those needs? And so we'll sort of look ahead to draft night in June without getting too in depth about it. But it should be a good show. So we'll do that. We'll have some other talk about that. We'll obviously recap the Spurs game. So it'll be a good show, David.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Taylor knows his stuff, and we need a little guidance when it comes to the college game and some of these guys coming up. And he's been paying attention, so it'll be a good conversation, I think.
All right, until then, Hornets fans, enjoy the game tonight. We'll be on Twitter @HiveTalkLive, live tweeting the game. All hail the deal in purple.